Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. America is heading toward more government control and less freedom. So what should Christians do? It's the scenario painted by the prophet Habakkuk. Things were bad and getting worse. He was asking God, "Where are you?" Today, lessons from a prophet on prayer. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Turn now to the book of Habakkuk as Erwin Lutzer talks about what to do when the answer is disaster.
So I begin today with a question. Where then is God? We've all asked that question many times. We ask it when we see injustice in the world. We see it, we ask it when there's poverty. We ask it when the rich exploit the poor. We ask it when there is injustice in the courts. We ask the question when people suffer and when tsunamis come and when Katrina comes. We are always asking that question in our hearts. We ask, where then is God? Where is he? When injustice seems to be winning, when all those who are evil have their heyday, where is he? Well, that's the problem that the prophet Habakkuk had. I always say it's Habakkuk or Habakkuk, depending on where you put the emphasis. What I'd like you to do is to turn to that book in the Old Testament, and in order to find it, go to where the division happens between the New Testament and the Old Testament, and then go back about 20 pages. This morning I looked it up in the Bible that is in the pew, and I think, if I remember correctly, I should have taken further note of it, but I think it's page 825, something like that, to help you find this little prophet, little only in the sense that it is a brief letter that talks to us about our relationship with God and God's relationship to us. Well, let's turn to what Habakkuk has to say, and I begin with his prayer. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I'm praying to you, God, but where are you? How can you look upon this and see what is happening? He had two problems with God. First of all, God appeared to be deaf. Lord, how long will I cry for help, verse 2, and you will not hear? Are you deaf? Must I shout? And the other problem is he thought that God was possibly blind. Verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity? I see it, but do you? That was a charge that was leveled by God against the idols of the nations. And the charge was that the idols are blind and deaf. And there are times in our own lives when it appears as if that's the way our God is too. Now, in this book of Habakkuk, this prophet has a relationship with God where it's almost like a telephone. He talks and God answers, and then he talks again back and forth. It's a little different than most of the other prophets because he's not so much preaching as he is having a dialogue with the Almighty. But the Almighty is speaking to him, and so we'd better listen. So that's the prophet's prayer, but what happens next is deep perplexity. Notice God answers him in verse 5 and says, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your day that you would not believe if told. For I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings that are not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Notice the last part of verse 9. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress. They pile up dirt and take it. They sweep like the wind and go on and on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Habakkuk, you don't think I'm doing anything? I am. I'm raising up a very evil nation by the name of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, as we know them better. And I am doing something that you wouldn't believe. They are going to come against you. And if you think that Judah has problems now, look out, because it's going to get worse. That's my answer to your prayer. What you might consider to be difficulty today is going to turn out to be disaster. What you think are tough times are going to end up being tragic times. I'm doing something, Habakkuk, and you'd better realize what it is. Wow! How is the prophet going to respond to that? That isn't exactly the answer that he was looking for. You read the text and you continue on, and it's almost as if, well, after that, I'm sorry I asked, quite frankly. I could have lived without this. We cry up to God for the United States of America and say, God, you raised up this nation. Please bring righteousness. Please help us. And God says, hey, I'm doing something. I'm doing something that is hidden, but it'll be revealed. I'm raising up a nation who's going to fly planes into some of your famous towers. I'm raising up a media that is going to assault your values through technology. I'm raising up mediums that will spread the world and the earth with your pornography and all that. And I'm raising up people that are going to understand that tough times are coming. As a matter of fact, I'm going to begin a recession, and a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. That's the answer to your prayers. And we say, God, did we hear you correctly? This is not what we were praying for. Well, Habakkuk, God bless him, he was just like we are, questioning God and wondering how in the world this could possibly be consistent with the God that he thought he knew. And he goes on now and he begins to dialogue with God. Look at his response in verse 12. You see, Habakkuk's problem is ours. He knows something about God and his attributes, and he understands that. The problem is he can't square that with what he sees in the world. It's like our problem. God is love. Oh, really? God is love? So there's a young mother that dies of cancer, leaving children behind. I mean, it's the struggle of every human being who's ever come to believe in God. We can't put it together. And what Habakkuk is saying in the next few verses is, this seems to fly in the face of two of your attributes. The first attribute is holiness, or I should say justice. Verse 12, are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly, there's that word again, look at traitors and are silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? He's saying this creates a bigger problem for me than I had when I began praying. God, it's inconsistent with your justice. Of course we're evil as your people. I've already admitted that, you know, that there is no justice and there's violence in the land and your law is not being followed, but we're not as bad as the Chaldeans, not as bad as the Babylonians. Of course we're evil as a nation. We have our evils. But you know, at least we don't kill people who convert from one religion to another. We don't condone the random terrorism of blowing up women and children randomly for political agendas. Yeah, we've got our problems, but we're not that bad. We're better than they are. So how come you're going to use them to judge us? How come you are going to use some wicked judges in this land and raise them up, and justice is going to be perverted? God, it doesn't make sense. It seems inconsistent with your justice, and it seems inconsistent with your holiness. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. How can you stand this travesty of your law being maligned by us as a nation? And how can you stand all this when you are of such pure eyes that you find it difficult to even look at evil, though you know that it exists? That's the question. So Habakkuk spills out his soul to God, and he pours it all out and says, I don't understand. Well, if you're following us, you know that so far we've looked at the prayer of Habakkuk, the perplexity of Habakkuk, and now the posture. I like it every once in a while when all of the sequences in my message actually begin with the same letter, and it worked out this time. I don't do that too often, but occasionally. The posture of the prophet. Chapter 2, verse 1. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. The imagery there is of a man who's on a rampart. He is looking into the distance to see if any enemy is coming into the city. And what he does is continue to stare because he wants to be the first who's going to see it. And in the very same way, Habakkuk is saying, I'm going to stand here on tiptoes in reverence. I am going to stand here because whatever God says, I want to make sure that I get it right, and I can hardly wait to hear what he's going to say. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that you tune in next time so that you find out what it is that Habakkuk actually did hear and see. This is a remarkable little book, packed with a powerful message. As a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Let us suppose that you were to meet Habakkuk in heaven, and he were to say to you, what do you think of my book? Or what if you were to meet the prophet Nahum, or the prophet Haggai? What if they were to ask us what we thought of what they wrote? For many of us, it might be very embarrassing. So I'm going to ask you right now, be sure to get a copy of the Old Testament, find the book of Habakkuk, and read it. You can read it in probably 10 or 15 minutes. And you can see the sequence of the man's thoughts as he goes from this deep perplexity to amazing faith in God. In a moment, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages, how you can have them, so that you can listen to them and share them with your friends. Because I know that all of us have friends who need to know that unanswered prayer can be received with triumph rather than bitterness and disappointment. I'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, beginning When the Answer is Disaster, another in a 6-part series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Next time, more amazing words from Habakkuk that could have been written yesterday. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the triumph of unanswered prayer. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.